tonight I think, or I know, that God wants to do something really special. Now, tonight's message may not hit all of you, but it is definitely going to hit some of you. Because God knows exactly where you are, and for some of you, this week is going to be life-changing. Some of you, this is just going to be a fun week, but it's just a part of the journey that God has you on. Because all of us are at different phases in our journey, all of us are at different steps, but God is constantly working in all of our lives, because you have a heavenly Father that loves you beyond measure, beyond what you could ever possibly fathom, beyond what you could ever possibly understand. And I know that many of you may struggle with that, but it is so true. Now, growing up, I've been in church since I was 12 years old, okay? And that's been a really, really, really long time ago. But I've been walking with the Lord now for a long, long time. And my vision of God when I was growing up is that God was always mad. Jesus was really cool, but God was always mad because, well, I messed up, I sinned, and God was mad at sin, and God couldn't look on sin. And so I just struggled for so long, most of my life, believing that God really liked me. I thought God might love me, but I wasn't so sure that he really liked me. And it wasn't until just in the past 10 years probably that I really came to an understanding that God really is fond of me. He thinks I'm cute. He's got my picture on his refrigerator, and he really is in love with me. And there's times that even now, even though I know that, there's times when I still have my days when I wonder. But I'm here to tell you that just because you may wonder doesn't mean it's not true. And the second thing that I grew up believing, that I'm so glad that most of you don't, I wish I would have been raised in a grace-based church, because it would have kept me from years of performance-based Christianity, of always feeling like I had to prove myself to God and all this kind of stuff. But I wasn't. And I always thought that my Christianity, my life had to look all neat and nice and packaged. But one of the things that you guys are learning, especially as a young age, and I am so glad that I am not being raised now compared to when I was raised in a lot of ways. I wish I had the teaching that you guys are getting in church, but you guys have it so much more harder than what all of the adults in this room, than what we had it when we were growing up. We didn't have social media. Now, I know that's a cool thing now, but we didn't have cyberbullying. We didn't have people making fun of us and plastering it all over, you know, social media. We didn't have all that stuff. Now, we had people making fun of us, but it wasn't nearly like what you guys are dealing with today. But I thought my life had to be all perfect and put together and, you know, presented to God in a nice little neat package. But life is not that way. Your lives are messy. Our lives, adult lives, they're messy. All right, they're not always neat and clean and everything just fits like a rainbow and we're all pooping out Skittles and having, you know, rainbows appear in our sleep. It doesn't work that way, right? How many of you would say life can be messy, right? You have issues, you have problems, you have things that you don't know what to do about. You have issues, and you guys have more issues today that you're facing than most of us adults ever dreamed of facing when we were your age. You need some hope. So I'm going to share with you one of my favorite illustrations. I read this way, way back in my life, and I've never forgot it. But before I get there, I just want to ask a couple questions. So who in this room tonight? Let's be honest, because we're among family, we're among friends, it's all okay. How many of you in here have ever felt invisible? Wow. Hold those hands up high if you would real quick. Look around the room, guys. This is how many people that's felt invisible, like nobody sees me. Okay, put your hands down. How many of you have ever felt like an outcast? Wow. How many of you ever felt like a misfit? Wow. How many of you ever felt like nobody really liked you, everybody was just kind of playing along? Wow. Isn't that interesting? Well, guess what? All of you that raised your hands, I'm going to be speaking to you. The rest of you that lives are perfect and you've never encountered any of that, man, we need you to pray for us, okay? I know Gene's back there. Gene's the perfect person. He's never made a mistake, you know. He never stinks. He never smells. He never does anything wrong. He's just got the perfect life. We need Gene to pray for every single one of us before you leave this week, okay? Just make sure he lays hands on you and prays for you, all right? Is that okay with everybody that Gene prays for everyone? And I know Miss Beth's going, Michael, you're so deceived, right? Because we all know better, right? We know Gene's not like that. So I want to share a story with you, and then we'll get into the message. So this guy one day went to a Christian music festival. It was one of those music festivals where everybody kind of camped out. And so there's a bunch of people all camping out, and it was a couple days of Christian musicians singing. Chaotic Resemblance was probably there. And they were all just jamming out to Jesus, and everybody was camping and having a good time. Well, this guy had to go to the bathroom, and for bathrooms, they had porta-potties. Y'all know what porta-potties are, right? Them big blue nasty things. So this guy, he's got to go to the bathroom. So he goes and walks up the trail and comes up over the top of the hill where the bathrooms are. And he watches this little girl, and she opens the door up to one of them. And she looks inside and kind of and slams the door shut. And she goes into another. And she does it about three or four times. And finally she goes into one and does whatever she does and comes back out. And this guy's thinking, well, I bet those other ones were pretty nasty and that little girl didn't want to go in there. And so he went into the one that the little girl just came out of. So he thought, that's got to be a safe bet. So he's standing there doing his business, and he happens to look down in the hole. Any of y'all ever look down into the hole of a porta potty? Pretty nasty, right? I told Blake I'm just continuing his theme because he started this whole mess, right? He's back there going, I love this. This is awesome. So he looks down in the hole, and he sees a bug crawling around. Now, y'all know that bugs like that kind of stuff, right? And he sees this bug crawling around, and he hears this voice inside of him that says, I want you to pick that bug up out of there and set him free. And he knows it's the voice of God. And he says, uh-uh, I'm not doing it. And so he hears God again. I want you to pick that bug up out of that mess and set him free. It's like, God, do you not get that? That is nasty. That is gross. I am not. That bug wants to be down there. That bug likes it. I'm not doing it. And he hears the voice of God the third time, and God says, I want you to pick that bug up and release that bug and set him free. And he says, God, I just can't do it. And immediately he hears the Lord say, but that's exactly what Jesus did for you. Although he didn't just pick you up out of that mess, he got down into that mess with you. So tonight I want to talk to you about the God that gets his hands dirty. Because see, I was raised, and most of the adults in this church, in this building tonight, were raised with a God that couldn't look on sin. And every time you messed up, we all thought God got angry at us and was punishing us because we had done something wrong, because God can't get his hands dirty. And somehow our mistakes looked bad on God, and so God would turn his back on us until we did some kind of repentance thing, and we cried at the altar and all that kind of stuff, and we got saved again. Then we were okay with God. But see, that's not the way that God deals with you and I. And that's not the way that God looks at you and I. God sees us crawling around in our mess, and he just doesn't reach down there and pick us up with white gloves on and throws the gloves away. He gets right down there in the mess with you. Because you see, God's not afraid of your mess. We're afraid of our messes. And sometimes other Christians are afraid of your messes, and they want you to clean your mess up so that you look presentable to them, but God's not afraid to get down into the midst of your mess. Because God's not afraid to get his hands dirty. So let me tell you a story out of the Bible. If you've got your Bibles or your electronic devices and you want to follow along, Mark chapter 1. The Gospel of Mark, Jesus has a leper come to him one day. And I'm going to explain to you about leprosy in Jesus' time. Most of you don't even know what leprosy is today because we've pretty much eradicated it from most countries in the world. But back in Jesus' time, leprosy was a skin disease that if you had it, you couldn't live in town. You couldn't live in the village. You had to live outside of town. And anytime there was somebody that come near you, you had to yell out, unclean, unclean, because they needed to know to stay away from you. So you were an outcast. You were not a person. And in those days, people thought that if you had a sickness that either you sinned or your parents sinned, so it was your fault or your parents' fault. It was somebody's fault that you were in the mess that you were in. And so one day Jesus has this leper come to him, which is wrong on the leper's part because the leper should never have approached a holy man of God, a holy rabbi, but he does it anyway because, well, it's Jesus. And there's something different about Jesus that this man recognizes, that I can get to him in my mess and it's going to be okay. So Mark chapter 1 verse 40, and a leper came to Jesus beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, and this is the question I want you to listen to, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Now what does a leper have to do with you and I at Grace XP Camp 2023? I'm glad you asked that question. You are smart people to ask that question. And I'm going to give you the answer. Because all of you that raised your hands that said you felt invisible, you felt like an outcast, you felt like nobody liked you, you felt like you were a misfit, you are today's modern leper. Because that's the way you see yourself. What do I mean by that? Again, that's a wonderful question. I'm glad you guys are on track with me with these wonderful questions. But before I get to that answer, let me just tell you a little bit more about leprosy in Jesus' time. Remember, I said this leper, it was illegal for him to come up and touch a clean person. Jesus would have been a clean person. This leper is an unclean person, so he was supposed to yell out, unclean, unclean, unclean. Could you imagine walking around your whole life whenever you got around somebody, unclean, unclean, and then watching that person walk away from you in disgust, like, I can't even breathe the same air that he's breathing because I don't want to be contaminated by what he's got. Imagine yourself that every time you got near somebody that you had to yell out, don't touch me, don't even look at me, I'm an outcast, I'm unfit, don't, you go your way, I'll go mine. And then this man comes along and looks at Jesus and falls down at his feet and says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. There was something about Jesus that this man saw that he thought, I've got a chance to get rid of my stuff. I've got a chance that I can possibly be healed from all of this stuff and I can stop being invisible and stop being an outcast and stop being a misfit and stop having nobody like me because of what I've got. I've got a chance, but only if Jesus is willing. And isn't that the question you and I ask every single time we get around other people, except we just don't realize we're asking it? Are you willing? So I meet Pastor Greg. First time ever. Let's say I'm just meeting him for the first time. Hey, Pastor Greg, how are you? Michael Wilson, good to meet you, sir. And we talk a little bit, but in my mind, I'm thinking, is he willing to be my friend? Does he see me? Am I dressed okay? Do I look all right? Will he accept me? Don't you do that? And then, on the other end, let's say Pastor Greg's coming to me and he's thinking the same thoughts, and I'm either going to think, man, I really like this dude, or I'm going to be like, man, how in the world can that dude wear yellow? He looks terrible in yellow. Doesn't he realize that? Because don't we size people up? Don't we make judgments and we get impressions off the way we see people? You guys do it in school all the time because there's the jocks table and there's the nerds table and there's the cheerleading table and there's this table, and certain groups don't mesh with other groups. Why? Because they're the them and we're the us. Are you willing to be my friend? Are you willing to see me, accept me? Are you willing to look at me as I am, as a person, and accept me for who I am? And see, because we don't believe people will and we're afraid they won't, what we end up doing is we become what we think they want us to be. So we'll dress a certain way because that's the way everybody that gets accepted dresses. And we'll act a certain way because, well, that's the way all the cool kids act, and I want to be cool, so I'm going to act just like them. Or we say things that all the cool kids say because we think they're cool, and I want to be cool, so I'm going to act just like them. Is this making sense? Bearing witness with anybody? How do I know this is true? Because every adult in this room's lived it out, and you guys are no different than what we were when we were growing up. It's called the human condition. We all do it to one another, but we're all really hurt when it happens to us. And inside, sometimes we're yelling out, I'm unclean, I'm not fit to be anybody's friend, and so we do whatever we have to do to make people like us, but are they liking the real you? And so I want you to understand tonight that Jesus sees exactly where you are. We're all like that leper. And so this man risks everything to call out for help because he knew he was unclean. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the shepherds of that day, the ones that were supposed to care for people like God wanted them to, they couldn't touch these people. And they looked at them, they looked down their nose at them and cast them off. And they had no compassion because notice Jesus moved with compassion. It could have said Jesus was like, man, this guy's in my way. I'll just hurry up and heal him and get him out of my way because I got to get to Jerusalem or wherever he's going. I got to get to, Camel Whataburger. I got to go eat a camel. I don't know. But he didn't. It says he was moved with compassion. And he says, I am willing. And he healed him. Because, see, nobody else would take the time for this man, but Jesus took the time for him. So again, I ask you, have you ever felt like the leper, like a social outcast, like a social misfit, like something's wrong with you? See, this man took a risk because he came to Jesus. Now, in Jesus' society at that time, if this man being unclean touched Jesus who was clean, then Jesus would have become unclean and would have had to separate himself for a while. That's why nobody wanted to touch a leper, because they didn't want to go through that whole process. But the amazing thing about Jesus is this, because he's not willing or he's not unwilling to get his hands dirty, that when he come up, that man come up and Jesus touched him, instead of Jesus becoming unclean because that man was unclean, Jesus' cleanliness touched that man, and that man became clean. So that now suddenly, in a moment, that man no longer was invisible to anybody. That man no longer was the social outcast. That man no longer was the misfit, because now Jesus took everything that was wrong with that man and he healed him so that now that man could come back into society and be a part again. Because Jesus is willing to get his hands dirty. But he said, if you're willing. And isn't that the question? So when I think about things that you guys have been through, now, if you're here tonight and you've got wonderful parents and you have a really good home life, man, you need to be thankful for that. Because you are really the exception to the rule these days. Most of you, I would dare say, probably come from divorced parents. A lot of you in here have had really bad traumas happen to you, things that's been done to you that should not be done to children. Some of you, you've told somebody, and some of you, you're carrying that on the inside, and you've never told anybody what somebody else did to you. But you see, when things like that happen, those questions I asked earlier, most of us, we have to deal with that anyway. But when you've had bad things happen to you, that just makes you ask those questions and see yourself even more as a social outcast and dirty and shameful and unclean. And if anybody found out about this, they really wouldn't like me. But I'm here to tell you tonight that if you're willing to bring it to Jesus, Jesus is willing to touch you and set you free from the shame and the condemnation and make you whole again. And you might be thinking, that's impossible. But I'm here to tell you that God sees right where you're at. He sees what's been done to you. And you might say, well, why didn't he stop it? Well, that's a whole nother question for a whole nother sermon. But I can tell you this, that Jesus was right there with you, experiencing the shame and the pain that you experienced. He was there with you, going through that with you, experiencing that through you, through your eyes. Now, that may not make sense to you, but maybe one day it might. But here's the deal, young people. Whatever it is that you're carrying that makes you feel invisible, like a social outcast, and like you don't matter, and like you are the misfit, if you will just bring yourself to Jesus. Like Pastor Greg said earlier, it's those leaves falling off the tree. Why? Because there's things in your life that are dead, and they're going to cause you to dry up and shrivel up on the inside if they haven't already. And you need to get that rid of that crap so that you can bear fruit and come alive again. It is not God's intention for you to be invisible, to feel invisible. It's not God's intention for you to feel like an outcast or be an outcast. It's not God's intention for you to feel like a misfit or be a misfit. It's not God's intention for you to feel like a leper, like nobody wants to touch you. How do I know this? Because I've spent my life dealing with this crap. I've spent my whole life feeling like an outcast, like I didn't belong, like I was invisible to people, like nobody really wanted to be around me. I've spent my life dealing with this stuff, and all it does is produces dead leaves that keeps you from really living and existing and experiencing the life that God wants you to have. And I'm telling you, young people, you don't have to live with it if you'll just give it to Jesus. If you would just come and say, Jesus, I need you to take this. If you're willing, Jesus, you can make me clean. And you don't even have to confess something to anybody. You say, well, I want this, but I don't want to tell anybody what's happened to me. Confession is good for the soul. It's good for you to get that out. But even if you don't want to, Jesus already knows, and he's the only one that you really need to tell. Because see, again, I've lived it. I know what it feels like to be invisible. I know what it feels like to be in a room full of people that I love and care about and still feel lonely and feel like the misfit and the outcast and the one that's always looking from the outside looking in, really wanting to participate and even participating but not feeling like I'm participating. You know what I'm talking about? That's not what our Papa wants for you. He wants you to be able to enjoy the party. He wants you to be able to know that you are loved beyond your wildest imagination. That he is fond of you, that he cares about you, that he is willing to get right down in the middle of the mess that you have found yourself in, whether it was your fault or not your fault. And let me just say this, if something happened to you by somebody else's hands, that was not your fault. And Jesus is willing to get down in that mess. He's not just willing to pick you up out of it and set you out. He's willing to get right down in there because sometimes we're not ready to let go. But Jesus will get down in that mess and stay with you until you are ready to let go. He's not just going to stand up there and say, oh, look, there's Pastor Greg just, you know, walking around, and I really wish he'd let me let him out of there. I'm just going to watch him while he does. No, he doesn't do that. He gets right down there in there with you, always, never leaving you. Even when you're not ready to let go, he's there saying, look, I am here and I will be here until the moment you say, I'm done, I'm ready to get out of this, and then you and I both are coming up out. Guys, you've got to get this. This is so life-changing. And you, some of you I know, you're going to struggle and you're going to think, well, that's good and I want it. I just don't know if he really will. Again, you're asking the question, if you're willing, he is willing. But you have to be willing to come to Jesus. Because that's what this leper did. The leper came to Jesus, fell down at his feet and said, if you're willing. And Jesus is willing. He's already there. He has already come down and become one of us. He's experienced our pain. He knows what it's like to be betrayed. He knows what it's like to have his friends walk out on him. He knows what it's like to feel invisible. He knows what it's like to feel betrayed. He knows what it's like to feel like an outcast and a misfit and all of that. He understands. And he wants to set you free. Now, I need you to know, a couple years ago when we had camp in the Tulsa area, I preached a message called You're Worth the Risk. And I'm here to tell you guys, you're still worth the risk. Jesus risked everything for you because you're worth it. See, a true friend is not just one that says, hey, man, I'll pray for you. God bless you, man. I know what you're going through. I'm going to pray for you. No, a true friend is one that will get down in the midst of your pain and sit there with you until you're ready to get up out of it. That's a true friend. And Jesus is willing, because you're worth the risk, to sit there. But I'm here to tell you guys, you don't have to sit around in that mess any longer. You don't have to sit around in shame and condemnation and feeling bad and feeling like you don't matter and feeling like I'm invisible and nobody sees me, because God sees you. Pastor Cecil said this morning that today's theme is welcome to the family. And I know this doesn't sound like a salvation message, and it's really not in the sense of, well, you need to get saved. No, this is a message that says you have a daddy that loves you and a daddy that's willing to go through anything. He's willing to go through hell and high water to get you. He's willing to come down into the porta potty of life and deal with the stuff and sit with you until you're ready to come out. That's the type of daddy you have. And that's all God wants to be, as a father. And I know some of you may struggle with that because you had a bad relationship with your dad. So if you can't see God as a dad right now, look at him as a mama, because God will be the best mama that you ever had. Like, well, I thought God's a father. God will be whatever to you, whatever you need him to be. That's the type of God we serve. If you can't handle a daddy, he'll be a mama. If you can't handle a mama, he'll be a daddy. If you can't handle a mama or a daddy, he'll be your grandmama. He'll be your granddaddy. If you can't handle any of that, he'll be your best aunt, your best. God will be to you what you need him to be. Why? Because he loves you that much. He's willing. If you're willing, he's willing. Because see, here's the deal, guys. Love never controls people. If I say I love you and then I try to control you, how many of you would agree that's not love? I mean, who wants to be controlled? Who wants to be used? I mean, any of y'all ever felt like somebody really loved you and then found out they were just using you or pretending to? I mean, how does that make you feel? It makes you feel like, you know, like I'm invisible. I don't matter. God never does that. God never controls people, because love never controls. So God won't force you to come to him, but he'll keep knocking. He'll keep kissing you until you kiss back. He'll keep holding on to you. He'll keep hugging you. He'll keep standing there. He'll keep letting you know, look, I'm here. I'm here. I know you don't want me right now, but I'm here. I'm here. You cannot get away from the love of your father. You just can't. And you might say, but I don't always feel it. Listen, I don't always feel God's love, but I'm married. And I don't always feel my wife's love either, but I know she loves me. It's not a matter of feeling it. It's just a matter of believing and then knowing and trusting that God sees me, that he's willing to take care of this, whatever this is. So life is messy. It's not going to be clean, neat, and sanitized. So let me say this. God is not afraid of your mess. He's not. Any of y'all, and this is probably more for the adults, but for those of you that grew up in churches like we grew up in, Do you remember how people used to get mad whenever the kids would be in the sanctuary? Because why? Because the adults at that time didn't want the kids to what? They didn't want the kids to make a mess. Right? Don't mess up our carpet. Don't get chewing gum on the carpet. Don't make a mess. Why? Because us Christians, for some reason, we're afraid of people's messes. But you know what? God's not afraid of mess because life's messy. And God knows that. And Jesus knew that when he came to become one of us. He entered into our mess. And he's not afraid of a mess. He's not afraid of your mess. There is nothing that you've done, nothing that's been done to you that God is afraid of. Nothing. Because remember, everybody was afraid to touch this leper because if they touched that leper, one, they'll become unclean. Number two, they might have caught leprosy themselves. But Jesus wasn't afraid to touch it. Jesus wasn't afraid to touch that man. Because Jesus is never afraid of our messes. So I have four things that I want you to take away from tonight. Number one, I want you to take away and know that Papa, God, he sees you. He sees you. For all of you that raised your hands and said, I have felt invisible at times, I'm telling you, God sees you. He sees you. Not just that he knows where you are, not that he knows what you've done. He sees you as a person. The people in Jesus' times looked at that leper and they did not see a person. All they saw was leprosy. There are some people that are going to look at you and all they're going to see is your mess ups, your mistakes, your hang ups, how you dress, how you act, what you say, how you're different, yada, yada, yada. That's all some people are going to see. But Jesus, when he looks at you, he sees you, the person, the real you. And he looks at you, and he has compassion, and he loves you. He knows your mess, but he doesn't see your mess. That's not what he's focused on. He's focused on you. Number two, our Papa, our God, Jesus, he listens to you. He hears you when you cry. He hears every single prayer that you pray. He hears your tears. Because sometimes, guys, tears are the only prayers that we can manage. Tears are the only thing that we can get out. There were times when, years ago when I was going through the biggest struggle of my life, the only prayer I could pray is, oh, God, help me. And he heard every single prayer. He listens. He hears you. He's not sitting there listening to you thinking, well, this is how I'm going to respond. Because, you know, don't we do that sometimes? We're sitting there listening to somebody talk, and in our head we're thinking about how we're going to respond or how we want to change the subject or how we wish we could hurry up and get out of this conversation so we can go to the snack shack. We wish this preacher would hurry up and shut up and so I can go get me a cold drink and a Reese cup and all that. And see, now I got your minds going on up there. But he listens to you. And every word you say to him matters. Your words matter to Jesus. Number three, he cares for you. He cares about your pain. He cares about your loneliness. He cares about your depression. He cares about your shame. He cares about the stuff that's been done to you. He cares about every single thing that matters to you. He cares about everything. And lastly, where's my piano player or guitar player? Which, everyone, thanks, Travis. Lastly, and this is, I love this one. I love all of them, but I really love this one. Our Papa is willing to touch you. Because every single person in this room, you have the need to be touched, to be loved on, Now, you may squirm at it. You may think, I don't want anybody touching me. I don't want anybody hugging me. I don't want... You need it. And inwardly, we all crave it. Why? Because when I come up and I touch you, you're no longer invisible. See, if I ignore you, like this little girl right here, what's your name, sweetie? You, yeah. Alexis. How are you, Alexis? Y'all see what I just did? I just pretended she was invisible. I asked her how she was, and then I just walked away like, she don't matter. She invisible. I don't know who she is. I don't care who she is. Now, y'all, you know, y'all have done it. Don't look at me like, I can't believe you just did that. We've all done it, right? But when you touch someone, when you go up to Alexis and you touch her, she's real. I can feel her, right? See, she's got shoulders and hair and a face and, ooh, you're sweaty a little bit, sweetie, but that's okay. So am I. It's all right. You'll be okay. But see, when I touch her, I realize she's a real person and she has a real name. And God is willing to touch her, and God's willing to touch you. He's willing not just to touch you physically where you feel the goosebumps of God. No, I feel God's presence. Woo, woo, yes, glory, hallelujah. All right? And those are cool times. I love those. But let me tell you where God really wants to touch you tonight. He wants to touch you on the deep, deep places that you don't want nobody to go to. He wants to set you free from the prison that you've put yourself in. Because in your mind, you believe I'm invisible. I'm the outcast. I'm the misfit. I'm the one that, yeah, I'm around people and I talk to people, but nobody really likes me. Because all of those sayings are coming from places of deep hurt. And that's where Jesus wants to touch you. And I'm here to tell you tonight, every single one of you campers, and the adults too, but you campers, I'm telling you, Jesus knows exactly who you are, where you are, what you've been through, what you need, and he is willing to give it to you if you're simply willing to come to him and say, Lord, if you're willing, I'm willing. I'll close with this. How do I know all this? Because I've lived it. I've been through the last 13 years have been the worst 13 years of my entire life. Last year at this camp, Miss Vicky and I were talking, and she gave me a prophetic word. And those of you who don't know what that is, that's just simply God said to Vicky, Vicky, I want you to tell Michael this. And she did. And she told me that my wilderness was about over. This was in July. December of that year, I hear the Lord tell me it's done. And God began to flip some things. But then later, earlier this year, as God's continuing to work on the inside of me, the inside that feels like the outcast, the misfit, invisible, doesn't fit in, the leper, the Lord showed me a picture, and I saw myself at 12, 13 years old. But I was in a dark prison. I was in a jail cell. That was the young me, 12, 13-year-old Michael. And on the outside of that jail cell was the adult me. It's like I was guarding myself, and I was like, God, what's up with this? Why am I guarding myself? And why am I, as a kid, in a jail and the adults keeping the kid in the jail? What's going on with this, Lord? And I saw Jesus walk up. And I thought, cool, Jesus is here to let me free and open the door up. But he didn't do that. Because I had the key in my hand. He was there, but I had to be willing to let myself out of jail. And what I was doing was, it wasn't that I was keeping myself imprisoned because I had done something wrong. I was keeping myself imprisoned because I was protecting myself from getting hurt again. Because I'd been hurt, and I'd been betrayed, and I had felt like the outcast and the broken, and the one nobody wanted to be around. And I could preach, and I had people tell me, man, you're a good preacher. And I had people tell me, man, you're a good pastor. And I had people tell me, we love you, we respect you. And yet I still felt like the outcast and the misfit and the one that didn't fit in, that nobody wanted to be around. And that day I began to pray, Jesus, I invite you into my darkness because I don't know how to let myself out. But I'm here to tell you today that when I said, Jesus, if you're willing, he helped me unlock the door to where I set myself free by his help. But I'm here to tell you, kids, some of you, you're locking yourself up in a prison because of stuff that's happened to you, and you're scared. And you feel alone, and you feel ashamed, and you don't want to get hurt. And I get that. But I'm telling you, if you'll just come to Jesus and let him, I promise you, it may not happen overnight. I would love it if you'd come up here and, ooh, I feel the goosebumps, ooh, and then walk away, I'm free, hallelujah, and you're screaming and shouting and dancing all over the place. It probably won't happen that way. Could. But Jesus deals with us differently because we're different people. I mean, if you see me go running up and down the aisles, you know the Holy Ghost has really got a hold of me because that's not something I'm going to do. Right? Some of you, you just like, woohoo! No, that's not me. But God knows how to deal with you where you are. So here's what I'd like for you to do. I just want you to bow your head and just close your eyes for a moment. And I just want you to ask the Lord. Think about your life. For those of you that raised your hands and said, I felt invisible. Do you still feel invisible? Because if you do, there's a reason why. I feel like an outcast. If you still feel that way, there's a reason why. I feel like a misfit. If you still do, there's a reason why. I feel like nobody likes me. If you feel that way, there's a reason why. And I'm here to tell you tonight, young people, that Jesus loves you. He sees you. He cares about you. He listens to you. And he's willing to touch you tonight if you're willing to allow him to. So that's the question I'm asking you to think about. Is there an area in your life that you need to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you to touch me in this area. I need you to help me because I don't know what to do with what I'm feeling or what I'm going through.